Did ISIS down a Russian plane filled with tourists? And what has Hungary got to do with Europe and the Islamic crisis? We've got you covered live from Hungary today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are coming away live again from Hungary. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Just had the joy of lecturing, actually it's over 700 students, I think, tonight with the help of my faithful translator, whose name I still can't pronounce properly, but had the joy of doing a lecture for a few hours on moral and cultural issues in America. And I've got in the studio here with me five young Hungarians. Some of them actually are on the radio. They're doing radio for their church and other work here in Hungary. So I may actually have some interviews with some of these young Hungarians, get their perspective on things from the country and how America looks to them. But as always, here to take your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I always want to give you some extra time on a Monday if you were unable to get through on Friday. You've got a question or comment, something you'd like to raise to me. I'll take some calls today, 866-34-TRUTH. But a whole lot is going on around the world today. There are issues that actually center around Hungary, so it's quite interesting to be here at this time. But a lot going on in the world, a lot going on in the news, so a bunch of things I want to talk to you about. I wrote a new article that's, you know, there's a lot of shocking material in the stuff that I write, but you're talking about shocking, what some churches in Europe are doing. There's no other way to describe it than spiritual suicide. It is a complete and utter capitulation and denial of the faith. And some of them claim to be evangelical, at least in the European sense, Lutheran evangelical. We'll talk about that. And have you been following what happened with the tragedy with the Russian plane that crashed over Sinai Desert? And according to the manufacturers of the plane, there is no human error that they can detect. As far as they know, there are no technical problems, which would further verify the claim of ISIS that they brought this plane down in retaliation for Russian involvement in the Middle East and Russian attacks on ISIS. I mean, you're talking about innocent men, women, and children. You're talking about a baby not even a year old. You're talking about couples that were there for holiday, ruthlessly shot down if ISIS claims are true. And there seems to be more and more evidence that that is the case and a video that may corroborate that as well. It's brutal. It's vicious. It's ugly. It's what you can expect from ISIS. And remember, friends, that is the spirit and mentality of radical Islam. I spoke to 10,000 plus on Saturday night about understanding radical Islam, and then called everyone to be a radical follower of Jesus with the opposite principles, not taking life, but giving life, based on life and hope and light. But this is a massive, massive life and death battle, and people are stuck in the thick of it. And right now, the migrant crisis, the question of immigrants coming into Europe, is this a humanitarian issue coming into America, or is it an Islamic invasion? And I was speaking to folks who were involved on the front lines and dealing with these issues, and one of them said that a colleague has said that Sweden is going to collapse, that Sweden cannot handle this, and that Sweden is going to be overrun by Muslims, many of them radical, and it will mean the Islamization of Sweden. These are real issues that are being faced. This is not just theory. And so Hungary has said no. No, we don't see this as a humanitarian crisis. We see this as part of an Islamic invasion. And the Hungarian prime minister actually said that George Soros, the American billionaire, is largely behind this. What you may not know is that George Soros is a Hungarian Jew who survived and escaped the Holocaust. And now he has said, yes, he has been involved in this crisis. Truth sometimes is stranger than fiction. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown coming your way live from Budapest in Hungary. Now, when I got here, there was a five-hour time change, but they already had their shift in the clock going back like a week before I got here. So we did the shift in the States, and with that shift here, we're now 6 hours different. So I am now, it's what, past 8 in the evening here in Hungary. And tomorrow I teach all day on the Book of Job at the seminary, and then do radio at night, and then fly home on Wednesday. But if you've got a question, something you want to raise to me, an issue, moral, cultural, theological issue you want to take up with me, 866-34-TRUTH. Before I sit and talk with some of my Hungarian guests that are in the studio with me, I want to read one thing that as a comment that came in on the Line of Fire website. And you remember last week we spent 2 hours discussing the incident in South Carolina with the policeman and the student, and we raised all kinds of issues, including the question of was there were there racial issues involved or anything like that. And we had some law enforcement officials, a police officer, others that work in these areas, call in and say the officer handled it wrongly. Well, a gentleman named Brannon posted this, and he said, "I am completely amazed at how uninformed the general public and the callers who have said they are in emergency services. I suggest all who have said this officer did not handle this appropriately go take a training class in police tactics. I even asked Dr. Brown to do the same so he can understand the situation fully. I am a law enforcement officer. I have been a psych tech for troubled kids with mental disorders. I have also worked at a psych hospital for many years and at an ER. I have seen it all and been trained in it all. First of all, the officer used less force than he could have. When attacked him, he could have used a weapon like mace or a taser. He instead decided to just use his hands. We are trained to end the situation as soon as possible. So when we do have to go hands-on, we go 100%. This stops the situation immediately so it cannot escalate. So the chance of injury is lessened. The sheriff who fired this officer should be removed from office. The reason why is now that school is a place of chaos. The students were just taught they can do whatever they want, and the staff get in trouble. They have created a situation of no enforcement, no authority, and no justice. I can promise you the incident will now escalate. What a nightmare." I thought that was an important perspective to share with you as well. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm sitting here with five young people, range in age from 20 to 35, that said they wanted to sit in on the radio broadcast tonight. And I'm sitting next to...
I'm Fuji.
All right, hang on 1 second. I think that I don't have your mic on. Let's try that again. Your name is?
Fuji.
All right, and how old are you?
I'm 20.
20 years old, and you're studying to be an English teacher?
Yes, I do.
Okay, excellent. By the way, Hungarian, from an American perspective, is a really hard language. It's completely different. It's not related to really any languages we know. So if you can learn Hungarian and English, wonderful. All right, you're 20 years old. How much impact does America have on Hungarian young people's culture?
Well, I think many of us see America as an example or a big brother that we look up. So I think it influences us in a big way because we feel we have to follow what America is doing. Mm. And for example, the thinking, the movies and series, the big American dream. So
it influences you. And this is positive. Hungary came out from under communism, but America is the great model.
And we have a dream to travel abroad to America and see these beautiful states and cities. For example, California or San Francisco or New York, the big...
Yes, absolutely. So what are some of the most... Do you know what some of the most popular TV shows or movies are from America?
Well, maybe Big Bang Theory and How I Met Your Mother.
Now, you know, it's funny. I know these are famous in America because I see them written up, but I've never seen Big Bang Theory or How I Met Your Mother. I'd probably be surprised if... So what else is... Who are some of the favorite stars?
Actually, meaning there is...
Okay, good. You haven't seen it.
Well, maybe Johnny Depp is the biggest star.
Okay.
In the... Well, in Hungary.
What about musical stars? Are there any famous American singers, musicians?
Well, Jason Derulo, maybe, or I don't know, Miley Cyrus.
Okay, so here's something interesting. I saw this article. It's the latest with Miley Cyrus, and it's for Halloween. She sent out some stupid tweet, just some stupid message, and it was retweeted like a half a million times. And I'm thinking, if you have a really good Christian quote, a powerful Christian quote, you know, maybe it'll be retweeted a few hundred times or a thousand times or something. But her stuff, a half a million times, a million times, is just profane. There are no morals with it. But she has an impact on young people in Hungary also.
Yes, they do. Actually, one of my friends wanted to cut her hair just like hers.
Really?
For example. Just.
Yeah. So it's amazing. Amazing, the cultural impact. All right. So tonight at the seminary, St. Paul's Academy, which is a five-year school, it's recognized officially by the European Union, can give a master's degree in theology. So you have 673 students in the school, and then there are some others that were attending, general public that were invited as well. But I was asked to talk about the moral cultural issues in America, what's happened with homosexual activism and the effect that it's had on our culture, and just to share where we've gone. What did you think as you were listening to the lecture tonight?
I never thought about these roots. So it go back until 1960, mm-hmm. 60s, and it was shocking. It was like, no, it shouldn't be like that, or we should raise our voice better.
And if the people in Hungary could suddenly see how far things have gone in America, how do you think they'd respond?
I think we're kind of a revolutionary, how do you say that word?
Well, that's,
yes, we have a revolutionary mentality. So mm-hmm. I think we will raise our voice, and we have this love of our nation and love of our people.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's a hard question.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the answer, and it's a big question, and we're talking about the whole nation. All right, let me ask one last thing. You are part of Faith Church, which is a church that's experienced really supernatural blessing, over 70,000 members. So Hungary being 10 million people, that's 1/30th the size of America. If you computed that to American, it would be a church of more than 2 million people. And you own a large TV station, you have a news station that's part of that. Do you feel, because of the church's influence, that you have more of a voice, more of a Christian voice in your country? Does it give you faith?
I think yes, because we have a big crowd of youth that can be moved in. So if there is a purpose to do, we will go there and raise our voice, because we trust our leaders and we agree with them. Mm. So we will go and say this is not right, or try something else. We have protests and we actually enjoy them. So.
Yeah. And you make an impact.
Yes.
Yeah, praise God. I mean, and the prime minister is actually Presbyterian, which is interesting. There's a lot of Catholicism in the country, then came out of communism, but he's actually Presbyterian and has taken some very strong stance. All right, awesome. Great job. Maybe we'll talk later in the broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Right, we'll hand off these earphones to our next Hungarian young person. And let me go to the phones before I talk to you about this real shocking move in some European churches that I have dubbed spiritual suicide. Let's go to Fort Mill, South Carolina. Donald, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
You mentioned earlier about George Soros' connection with the immigrant crisis flowing up out of the Middle East into Europe. I was wondering if you would expound, sir, on not only that, but his involvement through his Open Societies organization in destabilizing both the Ukraine and several other European countries in this pursuit of his for this one world government that he has been shoving down everybody's throats, including meddling at the UN and here in the United States.
Yeah, let me say this in terms of the involvement of George Soros. and in Hungarian Soros, I was not as aware of some of his involvement until coming to Hungary last year. Somehow it just passed me by. His Hungarian Jewish heritage, his being a Holocaust survivor. In fact, I was speaking to the pastor of the church here, Faith Church, Pastor Sándor, and he was explaining to me that there are a number of Hungarian Jews that he knows that survived the Holocaust. They hid on the streets. They had to survive, fight for their lives. And when they went over to America afterwards, they all became very wealthy because they said, this is easy. Making money is easy. Surviving the Nazis was hard. But his influence now, he has just said publicly that, yes, he is behind a lot of what's happening with the immigrants. As far as Ukraine, I am not personally aware. Maybe one of our guests in the studio can help us on that.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown coming your way live from Budapest, Hungary. Boy, what a gorgeous view out my window, just of the city, the Danube, the beautiful bridge, some historic buildings there. There's just nothing in America quite like it. It's old European and absolutely beautiful, but of course a very, very different culture. I just heard from a young lady that I spoke with about the incredible impact that American culture has on Hungary, even on the young people in Hungary. And of course, there's good impact we can have, but a lot of bad impact we can have. Hungary right now is in the center of controversy because of all the Muslim refugees pouring into Europe. And Hungary said, no, we can't absorb them. And they're not really here to work. And they're not really here to be incorporated among us. And we don't really see this as a refugee crisis. We see this more than anything as an Islamic invasion of our culture. And, of course, Sweden is in a situation where they're saying, we can't take in more. Germany is being faced with this. Other European nations are being faced with this. So Hungary said, we're putting a fence up, and we're saying no. And, of course, the nation is standing with the prime minister in his courageous stance. So, Donald, in Fort Mill, you asked about George Soros' involvement in overthrowing Ukraine. I am not educated to speak to that situation. I am looking at an article on Breitbart.com from today. Billionaire investor George Soros has confirmed he wants to bring down Europe's borders following the accusation made last week by Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. So there was outcry over what Orban said, and now he's confirming it. Mr. Orban said this invasion is driven, on the one hand by people smugglers, and on the other by those human rights activists who support everything that weakens the nation state. This Western mindset and this activist network is perhaps best represented by George Soros. And Mr. Soros says that national borders are the obstacle, and our plan treats the protection of refugees as the objective and national borders as the obstacle. I'm sitting here with my translator, who has had to speak for hours and hours and hours along with me, translated my message on Understanding Radical Islam Saturday night, translated my message on the Jewishness of Jesus Sunday morning, translated my lecture tonight, will translate my Job lectures tomorrow. But every meal, every time we're having a conversation, he's translated. Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Csaba Suryányi.
That's why I have a hard time pronouncing it. What's your perspective from Hungary's eyes of this immigration crisis, first for Hungary and then for Europe?
My perspective on immigrant crisis is the following. Hungary has had a very hard history concerning Islam. We've had 150 years of Islamic domination, Ottoman Turks. Mm-hmm. This is why it's a very delicate issue for Hungarians to see Islamic people coming through the border by the thousands. Mm-hmm. This is another sight that we ever want to see. And this is why most Hungarians just don't understand why this should be forced on us. We don't want this to be forced on Hungary to receive immigrants who just don't want to become Hungarian citizens, but who want to create parallel societies in Hungary.
And what's your view in terms of these other European countries, Sweden and others that we've been speaking of? Are they going to be able to absorb refugees and turn them into good citizens of their country? Is it going to change their country?
I don't think so. Because these Islamic immigrants don't want to become Europeans. They understanding Islam's ideas, they want to conquer and they want to dominate, they want to subdue. Even if they are in desperate situation, and even if they are real refugees fleeing from the war of Syria or Iraq, they are still under the command of the Islam. So they may not come with bad intents. They may come as refugees, but settling them down in by the thousands and hundreds of thousands is a very dangerous thing.
Mm. So you wonder how far this goes, friends. And I just wrote on this. We'll have it posted in a little while as my latest article. The Bishop of Stockholm, Sweden, became famous in 2009 when she was ordained as the first openly lesbian bishop of the Church of Sweden. She has now advocated that one particular church where Muslims are coming in, that they remove all the crosses and instead actually have directions so people know how to pray to Mecca. No surprise for a lesbian bishop, but this is what she's calling for. Then a church in Germany said, hey, we're all part of the same family of faith. We're all part of the same spiritual family. So we're going to remove the crosses and everything else offensive in our church building so that the Muslims will feel at home. Then an evangelical, so a Lutheran Alliance of Churches in Germany, has said that the Great Commission does not call us to go and make converts of the Muslims. That is contrary to the spirit of Jesus. And instead, we just need to build relationships of friendship. That's the real spirit of the Great Commission. So not only do you have radical Islam slaughtering Christians in the Middle East, chopping their heads off, torturing them, putting them in prison, stealing their children, raping their girls, and doing it in the name of Allah when Christians will not submit. Not only do you have that, not only do you have radical Muslims, not all Muslims are radical, we understand that, but not only do you have radical Muslims coming into Europe and wanting to impose their ways on Europe, but now you have churches basically opening the front door and saying, come in and take over. It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
This is what I'm talking about. This reminds me of the Hungarian times when our churches have been turned into mosques.
Yeah.
But now they use different weapons.
Yeah. And for good reason, there are Hungarian officials who are angry with a speech delivered by U.S. Ambassador Colleen Bell last week at Budapest Corvinus University, condemning, quote, the democratic backsliding that has taken place in Hungary over the past 5 years. And Hungarian officials are quite upset with that and saying, hey, we're not Americans. We're part of the European Union. We will take this up with the European Union. Friends, this is a time to be spiritually alert. This is a time to be vigilant. This is a time to be awake. This is a time not to be hating people, but to be praying, to standing strong for the gospel, to living out what's right, and to praying for a great harvest of souls in the Muslim world, and for the strengthening of Christians stuck in the middle of this, and for wisdom for European national leaders. The culture of Europe is hanging in the balance. This is what happens when Europe goes secular. Europe goes secular, turns its back on its Christian foundations and what made Europe great, and then instead, with that void of secularism, now Islam comes pouring in, and Europe does not have the will or the power to resist without a real turning of the tide. Hey, one quick announcement. We're really excited about this. We have been putting some of our best videos online, debates that I've done, lectures, different teachings, and they're now available to download, and that means you can instantly get them, just download them, or great audio resources. But this week, because we've just put a bunch of new video sources online, you can download any audio or video resource from our website at 30% off. So the prices are already reduced. Now you can download them at 30% off. So go crazy. Take advantage of it this week. Go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos at a church all too often in compromise. 866-34-TRUTH. If you want to weigh in on the current subject matter, if you believe our approach to Islamic immigration is wrong, we just need to take in as many refugees as we can for humanitarian purposes and to reach the lost with the gospel, feel free to weigh in. If you think that here in America we're being foolish and we are just paving the way for radical Islam, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm live in Budapest, Hungary, sitting with five young people who are involved with radio media and said they wanted to sit in on the show today. So I want to introduce another young person in our midst. All right, let's and listen, if you asked me to do an interview in Hungarian, I would say nothing because I don't know any Hungarian words and I wouldn't understand the questions. So I would go nowhere. So these folks are very bold to actually be on radio and to speak in English, which is not their first language at all. But I think we'll benefit from hearing their perspective. And Sig and Alexandria, I know you want to weigh in, so stay right there, and we'll get to you momentarily. So why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Christoph Molnar.
All right. And how old are you?
I'm 23.
23. And you're involved with radio with the church here, with the ministry here, yes?
Yes, I'm leading the live show, which name is Hit Life. And I'm also...
Hit being faith, that's hit, the one word I've learned. Yeah, okay, faith life, yeah.
Yeah, and I tried it and then I enjoyed it, so I do.
So is it a live news show?
Yes, we have a four-hour live show every day. Yes.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, I should have done this before, but just greet our listeners in Hungarian. Say something in Hungarian. Just
something Hungarian.
Just bless the people.
Sziasztok, üdvözlünk titeket innen Magyarországról. Az Úr áldjon meg titeket.
All right. So to all my Hungarian listeners, there you go. Just need you to hold this up a little closer. All right. Are you finding a lot of spiritual hunger among people your age in Hungary today?
I think yes. I think they need something to find in life because they don't have I don't know how to say they don't have goals mm-hmm. in life and I have a lot of friends who are not born to the church. And they changed his life. And when they met with Jesus, they realized that that's why that's the goal, mm-hmm. right? They have to leave.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess you know, under communism, that really steals the sense of goals and purpose and destiny. It just steals that. And then you have the revolution. You're free from communism, but then now what? Now what are we living for? What are our purposes? We find in America that we have so much prosperity. Everybody has so much more than their parents had in previous generations. And almost people still suffer, but we have almost everything at our fingertips, that there's not a lot of goals and people really with vision as much as we would expect in America. So this is probably more common to young people. But you're seeing when they connect with Jesus, then something happens.
I think yes. And I realized in my life also that when I understand that what's the real faith, I had a goal to live, not for the family, not for, I don't know, free time things like sports or these kind of things. But I know I have to say the truth for the people, for my, for people from my age,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's been one of the great things in the services. It's multi-generational. If there may be 10,000-12,000 in each meeting, there are a lot of young people as well. All right, friends, want to go back to the calls and a whole bunch more to talk about today on the Line of Fire.
The Line of of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to this live from Budapest, Hungary broadcast. Got another broadcast tomorrow night. Well, tomorrow night, my time, tomorrow afternoon, regular time for you. 866-34-TRUTH. If you'd like to weigh in, if you've got a comment, if you've got a question. A few other things just to mention. I'm going to speak with another of our guests in the studio here with me. If you live overseas, you may have really wanted to get some of our lectures, debates, videos, and things like that, but shipping is really expensive. It costs us a ton to ship it. It's hard for people to pay that. And now you can download many of our number one digital resources. There's no shipping involved. You can have them instantly. They're at a great discount, too. So everyone listening around the world, here's a great opportunity. We've been working hard to make these available in the best format. So go to the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, to find out more. And we've been active, as you know, on social media for many months, really seeking to serve people around the world. And many people, leaders, will tell me, I follow you on Facebook every day. I retweet what you send out on Twitter. Well, we just reached 200,000 Facebook fans today, and that's thanks to you. We're a great team together. I may write an article like this new article, Spiritual Suicide When European Churches Sell Their Souls to Islam, and then you share it, others share it. 1 week we reached 51 million people through Facebook, more than 5 million actively engaged. So thanks for being part of our family and helping us get the word out. Let's go to Alexandria, Virginia. Sig, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Okay, Dr. Brown, you must spend more time having the professor talking about the Hungary's experience with Islam. I was born in 1939 when Hungary was given Transylvania back. I was born in Bestrecem, and my mother's name is Keresztesi, her last name. And I was also a United States Air Force officer. And we have a disaster because President Obama chose to ignore history and take the lid off the Middle East, and it is his responsibility for the 250,000 who have died already and all these millions who are fleeing. And Hungary, as the professor said, was occupied for 150 years. And this is, to me, the underlying reason why Hungary does not want to have large numbers of Muslims, because 10% of them will become radical and try to take over, as they're trying in Western Europe.
Now, the, so Sig, the Kosovars, yeah, let me just ask you this.
Albanians were converted by the sword, and this is a disaster, and more time must be spent to talk about this history.
So when you say that President Obama is responsible for the deaths of a quarter of a million people and millions of refugees, that he turned his back on the Middle East or did not deal with it realistically, on what basis do you say that?
Okay. All the leaders of the Western world have known for over 100 years that the lid must be kept on the Middle East. Okay. George W. Bush, even though I supported him, made a huge mistake because Iraq was being used as a counterforce to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then when that happened, made that mistake, but then we did get control, and then President Obama came in and said, I'm a peace president. Well, he's the leader of the free world, and the superpower, when there is one, is responsible for maintaining order in the world. People, even under dictatorships, have a peaceful life day to day. We have the extreme opposite right now in Iraq and Syria.
So in your view, then George Bush's involvement opened up a real can of worms. President Obama's pulling out made it worse,
and
you would agree with Donald Trump, who said that the people of Iraq or Libya did better under dictators than in the current chaos.
Absolutely. Henry Kissinger wrote about this. That's why he became so famous. He studied history. And he said there are only certain conditions under which democracy can actually succeed. The populations must be educated. Their belief system is important. You know, this is why in Pakistan you still have the military very strong, because you have a complete, they're not ready for a real Western democracy.
Right, and, you know, and the idea that everyone would benefit from a Western democracy is a particular viewpoint we have that's not grounded in reality in terms of other world cultures. Hey, sir, I appreciate you weighing in, and I want to ask a question of one of my Hungarian guests here. So go ahead, give us your name.
My name is Edith.
And how old are you?
I'm 35.
35, so still a young person, but older than some of these kids here who are just 20 or in their 20s. When you studied Hungarian history as a child, what did you study about communism and what did you study about Islam?
About communism, I was about 8 years old when the Berlin Wall fell, so I sort of have some memories of the communist era, mm-hmm. and my parents used to talk about it all the time at home, how difficult it was for them. There was like no food you could buy at the store. The stores were empty. They had no freedom, no freedom of expression, no freedom of speech. It was really a tough time.
So if a child is learning about that in school today, that's how they would be taught, how bad and difficult it was?
Yes, but nowadays some people feel nostalgic about it because by time things...
Yeah.
But it wasn't, but it was not, it was really difficult times. A lot of people suffered greatly. They were put in prison if they did not support the communist ideas.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that religious faith still survived. More than half of the population, according to Encyclopedia Britannica, more than half of the population, Roman Catholic, about one-fifth of the population, Calvinist, which would include the prime minister, and then Lutherans constitute the next most significant minority. So it's not like the whole country became atheistic.
They were teaching atheism at school.
Yeah.
But it was a predominant atheism, but it was like a double life.
Mm-hmm.
They taught things at school to children. At least that's how my parents explained it to them. Then the parents taught something else to them.
Yeah. Do you remember being taught atheism as a child?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because things happen at eight. But otherwise, you would have been as you got older. If
yes, but
all right, and then as far as when Hungary was under Islamic rule, did you learn about that in school?
Yes, we learned about it a lot. We had some great Hungarian heroes who fell, who shed their blood for our country, and we have a very famous novel for Hungarian youngsters called "The Stars of Eger," and it's about a battle against the Ottoman Empire and some Hungarian heroes.
Interesting. I was completely...
It's a mandatory book for kids to learn that at school.
Really? So I was completely ignorant of that until this moment. So therefore, you look with more suspicion when you see what's happening with thousands of Muslims coming into the country, and they don't want to become part of the country. Most of them, they don't really want to be absorbed and become Europeans and take on the culture. So you have a very big concern.
Yes, we have very big concerns. And it's how they took our capital at the time, it was with a trick. How the Ottoman ruler took our capital, it was by a trick. So we are a bit suspicious.
Yeah,
about what is happening now.
Yeah, again, this is understandable, and this gives a perspective to people in the West that are looking at this. And then one last question, and I don't know if you're much aware of this, but from what I understand, the Jewish population before the Holocaust was maybe 5% and then totally destroyed. I was brought last time one night by a beautiful synagogue, I think the second largest synagogue in Europe outside of one in France, if I remember. Just a beautiful synagogue. There's still a Jewish presence here, but very small comparatively. How do the Hungarian people view the Jewish people and view Israel? Are they friends of Israel? Do they have questions about Israel? Did you know?
I can talk about myself. I don't know about the Hungarian people in general. I think they have to face the past, and we have committed horrible sins against the Jewish population. About 600,000 Jews were destroyed in Hungary, and I think we haven't really come to, haven't really coped with that, or it hasn't been such a great remorse as a society. Our church fully supports Israel and has done a lot of steps and a lot of outreach to.
Yeah, excellent. And that's very, very impressive. Tremendous stand for Israeli Faith Church and calling the nation to that as well. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, let me ask you a question. While I'm in Hungary, I'm live in Budapest today and tomorrow again. So we broadcast Friday night, today and tomorrow, live from Hungary. And they were able to work out my schedule so I can do all my teaching and preaching and lecturing without missing any of our live radio broadcast. So I've got a question that is very much an American question, but I read a story that was sent to me via email that a majority of Americans want to see marijuana legalized. And as much as I know America's worldly and America needs Jesus and all this stuff, I'm shocked to see the craziness and the idiocy behind that. So I just want to put this question out. I'll do it the next hour as well. If you favor the legalization of marijuana, would you please call and try to give me a coherent argument as to why? Would you? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Would you try to give me some coherent argument for it? Or if you want to blast the argument out of the water that marijuana should be legalized in America, feel free to give me a call, and I will get to some calls in a few minutes. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I speak to another in-studio Hungarian guest, and by the way, they didn't know that they were going to be on the radio until right before the show, and nor did I have such a plan. But when I saw them sitting there, I thought, well, they speak English. And I've got a little contraption here where I can split my mic cord into two, and I've got one extra mic. So I didn't give them the opportunity to say no. And they're too sweet and polite to say no anyway. So I'm going to get back to our guest in Hungary in a moment. But I read something that was really shocking today. I mean, oh, yeah, Matt, if you're high on pot and can call in and give a coherent argument for the legalization of pot, all the more. In fact, you'd be great for giving an argument against. Thank you. Good point there, Matt. But in all seriousness, I read something that was really, really disturbing today. I'm looking at news as I'm speaking. A Palestinian assailant stabs three people in Rishon LeZion terror attack. I'll get to that in a moment. But let me tell you what I read that was just shocking. You know about the 13-year-old Palestinian boy, teenager, who together with his 15-year-old cousin went and tried to kill, stabbed an Israeli man. He was able to run away, and then they attacked others. The 13-year-old stabbed a 13-year-old boy on his bicycle, stabbed him more than a dozen times. He was critically injured. And then the boy was either wounded by police or hit by a car. I'm not sure which, but Mahmoud Abbas said that he was executed by Israel in cold blood. Actually, he was recovering in an Israeli hospital, and now he's being sentenced for his crimes. And his cousin was killed when his cousin attacked the Israeli security forces, and they killed him. So here is the shocker of all shockers. How long did they plan this attack out? How long was this going on in their thinking? After school that day, they had a conversation. That day, after school, they had a conversation, and they decided, what's happening with the Al-Aqsa Mosque, of course, the misinformation that Israel was threatening the status quo there, and what's happening with the occupation and so on. Let's be martyrs. They made a spur-of-the-moment decision after school, 13 and 15, and went on this terror spree, one of them dead. Now the other could be in prison for many, many years. What a shocker, and how it reveals what's already there in the society, how deeply they've been influenced and impacted by propaganda and all of these destructive views. It makes you pray for them all the more, makes me feel that way all the more. Yeah, just a request from Sig, who had called in. Please talk about the history of Hungary as much as possible these next 2 days. The people of the USA need to hear it. So a very good request there, and something I will do. All right, I'm sitting with another young person here that's in the studio with me. Just all right, what's your name?
My name is Kitty Strida.
All right, and how old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
21 years old. And what do you have a sense of what God is calling you to do? Do you have a vision for your life yet?
Yes, I accepted Jesus when I was 11 years old.
Okay.
But before, I don't was a good girl.
So. Oh yeah, even as a little girl, you weren't so good. Yeah.
Yes.
That can happen.
Because I listen occult music and satanism music.
Really? As a little girl?
Yes.
Wow.
And I was an atheist.
Mm-hmm. And then Jesus came into your life when you were 11?
Yes.
And was that a complete shock to find out that God was real?
Yes, it was a big, big shock. But my great-grandfather and my great-grandfather was Christian too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want, except when I was young, very young, I hate this tradition in my family.
Wow. And then when you came to meet God, everything changed.
Yes.
Yeah, so religious tradition was very negative to you.
Yes.
How did you find the satanic and occult stuff?
Oh, it was difficult because when I was a little girl, I see a lot of cartoon, and I see verse and versed films, and I listen to very bad music.
So as a little girl in Hungary, that's amazing. Parents, never underestimate your children's ability to find bad things if you open the door for it. So now at the age of 21, what do you want to do with your life?
Pardon?
Now you're 21 years old. What do you want to do with your life? What do you feel God is calling you to?
Today I study in St. Paul Academy.
Mm-hmm. In the seminary here, yeah.
So I studied the Word of God, and I study another school too. I study economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I write some article, a blog, to the church blog.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right, so you're a writer also. Good,
yes.
Good. Writing is very, very powerful. Yeah, another life redeemed. Another life redeemed. I've got a plan for the second hour that's coming up, all right? So I've got one more Hungarian I've got to interview, but I want you to think of any question that you want to ask me, all right? And we're going to recycle, and I'm going to pass the mic around again, and you folks are going to get to ask me questions as well. All right, friends, remember, check out my latest articles, latest videos. If you've not yet seen my video on Bruce Jenner, Woman of the Year, yes, Bruce Jenner, Woman of the Year. It's reality. It's reality. It's truth stranger than fiction. I don't know what this is, what kind of reality we're living in. But check that out. Check out my latest articles. You'll find it to be eye-opening, informative. And again, all this week, we've never done this, 30% off on all digital downloads on our website. We've just put a bunch of video resources on there, all of our audio sources. Take advantage of that at AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today: as I sit here in Hungary, I had a loud and clear message for the 700-plus seminary students. Learn from the bad mistakes America has made. Did ISIS down a Russian plane filled with tourists? And And what has Hungary got to do with Europe and the Islamic crisis? We've got you covered live from Hungary today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to bring up another subject for you as well. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, coming away live from Budapest, Hungary. And a nice surprise, we've got five young people ranging in age from 20 to 35 who have lovely names that I can't pronounce. They're in the studio with me. They're all interested in media work. Some are doing radio work right now. Some are blogging and writing. So I just lectured to 700-plus students, mainly seminary students, some outsiders there as well, on moral and cultural issues in America. Tomorrow, the Book of Job. I preach through the weekend at Faith Church here in Hungary, Saturday night on Understanding Radical Islam, and Sunday morning on the Jewishness of Jesus. Had just a great, great time with the folks here and lecturing today, then tomorrow's Book of Job, and then one more live radio broadcast. But we've got the joy of sitting with some Hungarians and my translator as well, who has been keeping busy. Dan, your voice is starting to sound like my voice after all the speaking. But I've got a question for you. It's completely unrelated to Hungary. It's unrelated to other issues, but just happens to be a poll item that I saw. And that it's the majority of Americans want to legalize marijuana, which to me is utterly astounding. If you want to argue for that or against it, I am going to open up the phones. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. So Ted, near Boston, you are going to be first. But I've got a Halloween related issue to discuss with you. All right, Halloween related issue. So let's see, we've got that on there. Tell us your name.
My name is Franciszka.
All right, I think I can pronounce that one. And how old are you?
I'm 21.
21. All right. So I found out that yesterday, when Halloween is being celebrated in America, that it's like the Day of the Dead in Hungary. Can you tell us about that?
Do you mean how this celebration goes in Hungary?
Yeah, what do they do? What do people do on this day?
Well, a few decades ago, it wasn't a tradition here in Hungary at all. But as the first interviewee you asked mentioned, America has a great influence on European culture, just like celebrations. And mm-hmm. The last few years, more and more people started to celebrate things like Halloween, but yeah. What we never did before.
Okay, but you...
But in a different way. So all right. We had a day.
Yeah, so you had your own tradition that goes back a while with like a Day of the Dead on the same time of the year.
Yeah, but we never did pumpkin pie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so forget that.
Costumes.
Yeah. What I want you to do is tell us what you do here because
in Hungary.
I want Americans to hear the parallel.
Uh-huh, I see. Well, it's the day when people remember the death relatives and mourning. And of course, not just the people, but the whole atmosphere is sad everywhere these days. And sometimes it's hard for Christians to keep their trust. And
and you don't part. So they'll go to the cemeteries and even
yes.
talk to the dead and things like
yes,
that?
Yes, exactly. It's many people do it regularly, but in this part of the year, nearly everyone.
Yeah, and as we were driving home on... Friday night, so this was going into Saturday, there was an accident on the road. We had to turn around and go another way. And my driver said, this is the eighth he's seen today. And he said, something's in the air. People are depressed. And so they go to commune with the dead. Christians obviously don't do that. So that brings family pressure. And then I heard there's some traditions from the old world that if you don't do stuff for the dead, they'll do bad things to you. So is there a connection with trick or treat? You figure it out. But we'll be back. In a moment, I'm going to take your calls on the legalization of marijuana. I'm just curious to know where you're standing. And my Hungarian friends are going to ask me some questions. We'll be right back.
It's fire we want, for fire we pray. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What am I doing here? I'm doing here because I am a human being with a conscience. And when I see murder, I cannot stand by. And I have to call the murdered, and I have to call the murderers.
Yeah, that was Quentin Tarantino speaking at October 24th rally in Manhattan's Washington Square Park, and he was calling police officers murderers there. His major co-worker on his new film is really upset with him doing it, saying it's going to bring a backlash against this by the police, and the controversy spreads. But I play that clip for you because in the first hour, speaking to one of my Hungarian guests in the studio today, a woman in her early 20s, 20 years old, she talked about the pervasive impact of the American media on Hungarian young people, to the point that one of her girlfriends wanted to cut her hair a certain way to look like Miley Cyrus. The films produced in America, think of what's in them. There's a tremendous gifting, Hollywood directors, producers, tremendously gifted people, influential people, actors, actresses, screenwriters, and all of that, graphic artists, just tremendously gifted people. But ask yourself, for the most part, is the message constructive or destructive? Is the message one that you would want to spread through a society, or one that you feel has a detrimental effect on society? That's one of the reasons I grieve over the negative impact America has. Thank God we've done so much good and continue to do good around the world, especially through the gospel and in other humanitarian ways, and at times even in military ways. But we have a tremendously negative, polluting impact, and we need to recognize it. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, before I get back to my Hungarian guests, let me take my first call on the legalization of marijuana. As I just read a poll saying that the majority of Americans are in favor of legalizing pot, which to me is cultural insanity. Let me get your take, beginning with Ted outside of Boston.
Well, first of all, I identify myself as a Christian and a libertarian, and anything that I can take out of the hands of the police slash prosecutorial arena and free people from that arena for a victimless crime, especially smoking a leash, I would be an obvious thing that I'd like to do. The easiest argument, I think, when you come to any drugs, I'm in favor not just of marijuana, but legalizing drugs. I don't use drugs, but the argument most persuasive to me is the war against drugs under Bush, under Reagan, was not effective. The war, you know, the continuing prosecution of people under these laws are not effective. You can go to any corner in any major city and buy these drugs, so it doesn't work. And then, in the what some might suggest a conspiratorial arena, but is documented in many examples, we have a government that's a drug dealer. Somebody that wants to prosecute somebody for doing drugs or possessing drugs, mm-hmm. is saying it's okay for the American government to be the drug dealer, bringing in, making sure farmers in Afghanistan are allowed to grow poppies. Whatever the drug is, the opiate that they make out of, well, opium.
All right, so Ted, just to be clear, you're aware of the potency of marijuana today, 30, 40 times greater than, say, when I would have smoked it as a teenager.
I am aware of that from, you know, social media, et cetera. As a matter of fact, comedy,
right.
You know, talks about.
Are you hearing the reports about more vehicular issues in states like Colorado, more health issues coming up? Young people now smoking pot that never would have accessed before. You're aware of what we've already seen happen in a state like Colorado.
Two things I would point out. I'm not going to belabor, you know, the comparison with alcohol. Oh, that's kind of obvious. Alcohol is not illegal. People drive drunk, etc. But you know, as far as the drug itself and its potency, another thing to put in the realm of potency is contaminants. If people
hang on, but Ted, that's completely off subject. That's totally off subject.
Well, no, but with legalization comes an ability to make sure that the purity is there. And then
we have to worry about the purity, though. Just to jump in, though, Ted, we don't have to worry about the purity, because in point of fact, it's legal in Colorado and more lethal in that respect than it's ever been. But I asked you to weigh in, and you have, and that's fair enough. Okay, obviously I differ, and I understand your libertarian position. It was what probably drives you, but I appreciate that. I differ. What do you think about what Ted had to say? Do you agree or disagree? 866-3-4-TRUTH. I know I had more to say, but I want to give opportunities to some others as well. All right, so back to my Hungarian friends that are here. I'm giving them the opportunity now to turn things around and to ask me a question. It could be on any subject, to be of any kind. It could be, you can ask about the history of Hungary, but I'll say I don't know. So, all right, first question then comes from Francesca. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
Close enough.
Then my question is in connection of homosexuality.
Yes.
It's okay?
Yes.
Okay. A few weeks ago, I interviewed a few people on the streets to get to know what's the average opinion of Hungarian population.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the interviewees dare to refuse homosexuality or said that it's not a normal or healthy thing. I had the impression that people are afraid of being excluded or ashamed for their intolerance. And whatever their real opinion were, they started to behave remarkably and unnaturally tolerant. Is it possible that previous cases of public shaming, even incarceration of anti-gay people, could lead to a wide range of apparent acceptation of gay rights movements? May intimidation be the success of the gay lobby?
Yes, there is a definite intimidation that takes place all the time, which is the moment you speak against homosexual practice. You can be gracious, you can be friendly. You heard my presentation when I was asked to lecture about this at the seminary. I don't bash anyone. And yet, I could show you on my computer and you would be shocked. The ugly things said about me day and night. You're full of hate. You're a bigot. You're a Nazi. I wish you would die like this. I wish you'd get hit by a truck. I wish you'd die of cancer. You're the worst person in the world. Nonstop. Simply because I say God designed a man to be with a woman and a woman to be with a man. Or simply because I say a child should have a mom and a dad. That's best. So you get slammed, you get mocked, you get hated. Let's say you're a church pastor. You don't want all that controversy. People come to your church. They don't want all the controversy. They don't want to protest in front of your building. Maybe you're in business. You don't want people protesting your business and saying, stay away from there. Maybe you want to get a promotion in the university. And you know, if you speak out in the arts department, that the professors will say you're intolerant. They won't recommend you. So without question, the intimidation, the putting people in a negative light is a very, very effective tool. And when society shifts in a certain way, and you know how it can happen. Look, you are under communism, then you're not. The Jewish people were a good part of the population and then wiped out in large measure through the Holocaust. And you see these things happen, you realize suddenly there can be shifts. I'm not comparing gay activists to Nazis or communists, not at all. I'm saying that a society can shift. And suddenly your opinion is unacceptable. And if you hold to that opinion, there'll be a high price to pay. So without question, and this is the message from America, if you want to be on the front lines of progress, you must embrace these things. The business world, the big businesses from America are saying, if you want to do business with us, you must embrace these things. The universities are saying, if you want to work together with us, you must embrace these things. This is enlightened. You do not want to be intolerant. So the pressure is absolutely there without question, and the pressure is there in a very, very real way. And that's why Christians first and foremost must have courage and conviction to stand up for what is right. And again, my word to Hungary, learn from the mistakes of America. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me take another call on the legalization of pot issue. We go to Clayton, North Carolina. Chris, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, big fan here. Thanks for taking my call. Just just a comment on your caller there a couple back. I'm a co-leader of a recovery group, Christian recovery group for those in substance abuse. My background is an alcoholic, came to faith, have not had the urge to drink in 12 years. But I think something that gets missed, one is when we say we legalize it, we're giving the stamp of approval. We kind of set the tone that this is, hey, this is okay, it's acceptable. And two, the big thing is a lot of these people in addiction don't turn their lives around until they face negative consequences. And if we don't make, you know what I'm saying? If it's legal.
Yeah, yeah. If it's legal and they're not negative consequences, they may not hit that wall. That's an argument for laws against. Hey, Chris, thank you for weighing in.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast live from Budapest, Hungary. And got one more day live from Budapest, so just continue to pray for grace, and then Wednesday is the day to travel back. If you haven't heard this news, more violence in Israel. Palestinian assailant stabs three people in Rishon LeZion terror attack. The assailant was apprehended and is in police custody. Again, a lot of these things are being captured on security camera, security footage. The attack began late afternoon with the assailant, described by police as a 19-year-old man from Hebron, stabbed a pedestrian on the corner of Herzl and Tarmov Street in the heart of the city when it was packed with commuters. The terrorist then stabbed another victim on the sidewalk, police said, before stabbing a third victim and walking into a cosmetics store. So it was a little while before police were actually able to arrive. The victims of the attack included an 80-year-old woman from Rishon LeZion who was seriously wounded, 30-year-old man from Bnei Brak with serious injuries, and a 26-year-old man from Rishon LeZion who was lightly hurt. Five other people were treated for shock at the scene. Friends, this is ongoing in Israel, in some cases daily, with constant incitement from Islamic radicals, with constant incitement from the Islamic leadership. And there's a poison spreading through the people with the demonizing of the Jewish people. I was looking at a statement made by a former Hamas leader, still a man of influence, and he said that the Jews are destined by Allah to suffer because they are the ones who murdered the prophets and they are the bloodsuckers. In other words, they're always guilty. Not just the Israelis, not just the Israelis because of the so-called occupation, but all Jews are guilty. If you didn't see my video yet on why Palestinians want to slaughter Jews, go to the YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on YouTube, and just scroll down. You'll see it. It's eye-opening. That's why you have a little girl 2 or 3 years old holding a knife in her hands and saying that she wants to stab Jews with that knife. All right, back to Hungary here. I'm sitting with another of our guests in studio, and they're doing different kinds of media work, radio work, et cetera, and said they'd love to sit in and watch the show here. So I said, great. Then I decided, well, your media people, you're going to be on the show. So they were gracious enough to let me interview them and put questions to them, and even having to speak in English. So did a great job of that. But I've now turned it around that you have questions for me. So give us your name again. We've got a lot of different listeners in the second hour, and then go ahead with your question.
Sziasztok. My name is Fuji. My question is about your time schedule.
Yes.
I amaze what you do. So I don't understand how you do it. How you able to do it?
So what is it that surprises you?
That you do so much things, mm-hmm. like your Facebook, your this broadcast,
yeah,
and the articles. You said that you already wrote 4 articles here in Hungary, or how many?
No, I've only written a couple. I wrote one this morning, for example, before coming to do the lecture. Yeah, but I'm always working on books and things like that.
This is amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. A few things. One is that we each have different gifts, and some people do things differently. My wife, Nancy, really writes well. I mean, she communicates really, really powerfully, but it takes her a long time to write. So we'll joke about it. I'll write, you know, 20 pages from a book, and she's just written one paragraph for an email, and she's still sharpening it. So her one paragraph ends up being more powerful than my 20 pages. But everybody has different gifts. So God's gifted me to be able to get a lot done. It's part of the calling on my life. And then I go for it. I figure I've got one chance, one opportunity. And Paul says that we should run our race so as to win. So I'm not in competition with anyone, but I want God to get the maximum out of me that he can. So if I'm here in Hungary, I said, listen, you've got a school. If I can be a blessing to your school, great. So we've got hours and hours of lectures and then radio and then back to my hotel room to write. But it's also a burden. So there's grace and calling to do it. And then I seek to redeem the time. I do enjoy resting. I do enjoy hanging out with family. I do enjoy having fun. But I enjoy giving everything I can to the very limit. So when I work out, when I finish with the workout, I'm laying on the ground. I can barely move because I've given it everything. And then I feel great through the rest of the day. So that's kind of how I enjoy living my spiritual life. And the other thing is I'm burdened. I see things happening. I want to address it. I'm grieved. I see a need in the body. I see a way I could help. I see something happening. And here's something great just for all of you here that are with me in media. You have a voice. You have an outlet. You heard at the introduction each segment, I'm introduced as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So the news is happening. People are very frustrated. The American media is not reporting it fairly. There's a lot of bias. Whatever is going on, you don't like this. What's happening in the continent or in the country. Most people can't do anything. They're frustrated, but I have a microphone. I can speak to the whole world. I can sit and write. I can speak to the world. So I can be a voice. Everybody's frustrated. I can be their voice. And people have come up to me and they say, thank you. You're my voice. So I feel this sacred responsibility to get the message out.
May I have another question?
Yeah, yeah. Well? Go ahead. Sure.
Do you believe that the freedom of speech is still a thing, a real thing in the USA or in Hungary or anywhere?
Yeah. Again, I don't know the full situation in Hungary, but obviously I've been able to speak freely here. And your church is very influential, so what it's doing is not a secret. Right now in America, I get on the radio and talk about any of these subjects, controversial subjects, with no problem. I can write about them, no problem. Churches can talk about them, no problem. But little by little, we are losing these rights. Little by little, there's some speech that does not seem to be as protected. And what one man on radio said is, the more they try to silence you, the louder you have to shout. So I'm determined to shout the message as loudly as I can, because there could be a real attack on freedoms. Right now, there are Americans saying, yes, you have freedom of speech, but you don't have freedom from consequences. So if we don't like what you're saying, there can be negative consequences. That's another way of taking away freedoms. So it really is under attack, and it needs to be very, very carefully guarded. And strangely enough, a lot of the attack comes from gay and lesbian activism, that if you speak against certain things, you're branded intolerant or a bigot, or you might lose your job. There have been there was a sportscaster in Canada, and he sent out a message on Twitter standing against homosexual activism. It wasn't nasty. He stood with someone and against this other issue. He lost his job over it. So these things are rising in the culture, and we really need to be very, very careful about them. And I've spoken to people in other countries that said that their government leaders have told me their government is under pressure from America to change policies, or they're going to lose income, they're going to lose trade, they're going to lose influence. So that's another way of taking away freedoms. And that's why all the more we've got to get the message out. So my philosophy is this: you come to the Lord and you find a place of rest in him. And then once you find this place of rest, you run as fast and hard as you can run. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Every major city in America, except the city of Houston, has a comprehensive ordinance that prohibits discrimination among a number of different classes or groups of individuals and provides for local remedies to those individuals.
That was lesbian activist Mayor Anise Parker, mayor of Houston, Texas. And her point is that Houston's one of the biggest cities in America. It would be the biggest city not to have a non-discrimination bill based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The opponents of that bill say, hey, hang on. This does not have clear guidelines for religious liberties. This is going to bring discrimination against Christians, and it's going to make public bathrooms and public locker rooms gender neutral. And if in effect, and if a man is convinced he's a woman, he can use women's room. Let's say, as one owner of a steak restaurant said, how's the government tell me that I'm going to be fined if there's someone who's clearly a biological male but believes he should use the ladies' restroom? Doesn't say the person has to really look like a woman, or it doesn't say that at all, just self-identification. He's going to get fined if he doesn't allow that man to use the ladies' bathroom. And then what about the heterosexual predators that try to use this? It already happened in a university in Toronto where they were having these gender-neutral bathrooms, and these girls were shocked to see that as they're taking their showers, there's a guy in the shower stall next to them with a cell phone holding it over their heads, videotaping them. Well, what do you expect to happen? Of course, you're going to have heterosexuals in there, voyeurs or predators and things like that. Of course. So tomorrow is the day to vote on this. Tomorrow is the day to vote in Houston on this. And it's an important vote. Mayor Anise Parker pushed it through the city council despite the overwhelming calls to the city council against it. The people of the city were able to get tens of thousands of signatures to say, let us vote on this bill. And then with no legal authority, the city attorney nullified these and disqualified the signatures. They weren't valid signatures, he said. And then it got even more extreme with Mayor Anise Parker saying that she was subpoenaing the sermons and private emails of these pastors that were involved, any reference to homosexuality, etc. She wanted. There was a national outcry about her overstepping her bounds. She pulled back from that. Ultimately, now the people are getting to vote on this. So people of Houston, time to vote. You can treat everyone with respect, and I am not aware of a litany of charges of gays and lesbians being discriminated against in the workplace in Houston, but I can guarantee you there's going to be discrimination against Christians if this bill passes, and there's going to be all types of confusion and unwanted consequences in the bathrooms and locker rooms, even if simply from heterosexual predators taking advantage of it, and the confusion it brings. Listen, I heard a woman testify. She said she was raped in a bathroom many years ago. And to go into a bathroom and see someone who's clearly a biological male in her bathroom would be absolutely traumatizing to her. You must consider everyone in this. And this is Mustafa Tamiz. He is a regular contributor and news analyst for Fox 26, the Houston Chronicle, Texas Tribune. Clip number 3, Joey. This is what he has to say about this bill.
People that are undecided, people that haven't made up their mind about this, should consider who's on which side. General Electric, a very conservative company, just came out for this ordinance. Apple came out for this ordinance. The Greater Houston Partnership's for this. NAACP, LULAC, Urban League, and the list goes on and on of organizations that support civil rights, organizations that support business. The Greater Houston Partnership's played a leading role in this that I support. So I think you should look at who's on which side of this ordinance as you go to vote. Because all these organizations, they have in the interest of Houstonians and business, whereas the other side is making an ideological argument. This, if you look at the pool of people that are supporting this is not the usual characters. These are the people that come from different lanes in Houston that all support this because it's for the future of Houston. The other side is kind of like the people that want to take us back.
Unbelievable. So that's his perspective. The people that want to take us back, the Christians that are saying, don't discriminate against us, and think about our ladies and girls in the bathrooms. They want to take Houston back. Oh, the enlightened ones, Apple and GE. They want to move the city forward. Wake up, Houston.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, if you want to weigh in on a question that it just came to me because of a poll that I saw that the majority of Americans favored the legalizing of marijuana. The first half hour, we had one libertarian caller strongly for and another gentleman who works in recovery programs clearly against. It still boggles my mind that people want to argue for it, but I know there are arguments for it. And you might say to me, well, do you want to make alcohol illegal? That didn't work in prohibition times. I understand. But if you want to weigh in on that, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. All right, I am going back to my in-studio Hungarian guest. Just give us your name again.
My name is Kitty.
All right, so this is where you get to ask me a question.
Okay, my question is that what's the greatest challenge for the Christian teenagers in America today?
Yeah, the greatest challenge for Christian teenagers today, I'd say, comes from a few different directions. Young people are really rebelling against, quote, religion. And from different angles, there's a real strong atheist movement that really tries to mock our beliefs and things. And maybe when you went to university, you encountered many of the arguments of the atheists. But now, through internet, kids are encountering the same arguments and they're 12 or 13 or 14. So it makes God look bad. It makes the Bible look bad. And then in the larger society, the media makes the church look like it's bad, it's full of hypocrisy, it's full of hatred, a lot of it over gay and lesbian issues. And young people want to see fairness, they want to see justice, and they see their friend, maybe he's 16 years old, he says he's gay, and why won't the church bless his relationship with another boy when he gets older? Why can't he get married? And the church is now made to look as if it's bigoted and mean and things like that. So because of that, there is this negative image of the church, this constant attack on God and Scripture, and then the pull of sin. There's so much available. And look, just say things like sexual sin, pornography. Anybody just with their cell phone can find all kinds of terrible things. There's so much available through internet and through cable TV and so on, that young people are getting exposed to pornography at younger and younger ages. I mean, it's shocking how young the average child is now in America who's getting exposed to pornography the first time. So a very wrong view of sexuality, availability of drugs and alcohol, and just like, you know, for many, many years, readily there. And then just the worldliness of the media is so overwhelming. And then the social pressure of social media, that kids will do anything to be accepted. And it's amazing how cruel they can be one to another on social media. I watched a documentary about 13-year-old kids and how they use their cell phones and what they communicate to each other. And it's the ugliest, most vicious thing. And so kids want to be accepted. They don't want to be outside the crowd. So on the one hand, it's standard pressure from your peers to be part of the crowd and to do worldly things. But it's intensified in certain ways because of social media. It's intensified in certain ways because of so much filth that's available. And then the attack on the church as well. So it's a great battle. And many young people, Christian young people, when they go to secular universities, very quickly they fall away from the faith because they haven't been properly prepared intellectually. Their moral foundation is not strong enough. And now they're surrounded by intellectual arguments and by the seduction of sin. So this has to be addressed as well. Now, on the positive side, there are many young people who are radically committed to the Lord and who are really just as on fire for anyone you'll see anywhere in the world. They're praying, they're fasting, they're going for it. They see the destruction that's taking place in the society. But it's a real critical time for young people in America. They're attacked with more things than anyone's ever been attacked with. When I was growing up, as much was available with drugs and alcohol and obviously immorality, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have that availability of pornography and other polluting things. We didn't have the social media pressure on people. So it's more intense in that regard. Again, thank God there are young people on fire. Wherever I go around the country, I see very, very committed young people. But one young lady posted something on Twitter thanking me for my example and how I've helped her through many, many hard times. So I happened to see it, so I replied, you know, I'm glad to be a blessing in your life, something like that. Found out she's 15 years old, and she feels all alone in her school. And I was there as a help to her that gave her a sense of strength. But there is a feeling of isolation that many kids have because the culture is in such a negative stance. There were times in the past where there was more respect for spiritual leadership. There was more respect for religious faith, and it's under a lot more attack today. And then another tactic of the world is to say that Christian fundamentalists are just like ISIS and the Islamic terrorists. So we're just as bad as they are. And it's such a preposterous, ridiculous comparison, but unfortunately, many people think that way. And the last issue I'd say is this, that increasingly, there's an inability for American young people to think critically and to think clearly. Number one, you have all the information you need just at the tip of your fingers, right? You don't need to memorize as much stuff. You don't need to understand as much stuff. Just type it in. But also, communication is so short. It's little sound bites. With Twitter, you have 140 characters. So I'm constantly trying to figure out how to say something in a really short way. Otherwise, young people won't hear it. And I was doing a debate with a professor in Florida at a big university there a few years ago. And he proposed the topic, and I agreed to it. It was same-sex marriage. Should it be legal? And at this time, it was not legal in Florida. And it was some years before the new Supreme Court decision. And the people of Florida had voted to say marriage is the union of one man and one woman. So you would have thought that people would have been more with me. But on the college campus, this was considered tremendously controversial. We had to have four policemen present. Otherwise, they would not allow us to have the debate because they were concerned there could be some kind of violent protest from the other side against our side. But what's interesting is the professor got up and he challenged me and he said, tell me one difference between a man or a woman. This is a university professor. Tell me one difference between a man or a woman, something a woman can do that a man can't do. And his students were kind of laughing and cheering him on. And I tore the thing to shreds. And I said, let's start with a woman being able to have a baby, you know. And I looked at these students. I basically said, shame on you for thinking there's no difference between your mother and your father. Are you even thinking? So that's the great challenge, that people are just repeating what they're hearing, and we've got to get them thinking. And sometimes the only way to do it is if they're using a soundbite, you respond with a soundbite. They've got their little saying, you respond with their little saying, and try to get them thinking. And that's one of the great challenges. Of course, I'm always encouraged because I see God moving among young people, and I see some who are really willing to give their heart and soul, their whole life for the gospel. But it's a very, very challenging, difficult time for young people, more so than when I was a young person, for sure. All right, tell you what, I'm going to keep talking, but whoever's not asked a question yet, just come on around. I think there are one or two left that I want to get to. And let me just return to a couple of issues I mentioned early in the broadcast. The tragic crash of the Russian airliner. Matt, I don't know if there's anything else that we've heard since, but everything that I've heard and read so far is that there was no technical failure, there was no human error, that the plane was brought down. That's everything I've seen so far, which would substantiate the claim of ISIS that they were the ones that brought down this Russian airliner filled with Russian tourists, children as young as 10 months old, I believe, in retaliation for Russian involvement in Syria and the Middle East. So what Russia does from here is the nation is mourning right now, but how they respond, this is a very, very bloody, gory, ugly situation when you deal with murderers like ISIS. And will Russia get involved even more intensely? What does that lead to? All the more do we need to pray for God's solution for the crisis in the Middle East and continue to pray for his protection and grace on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All right, tell you what, give us your name again. And your question.
Okay, I'm Christopher, and I want to know about yesterday you had a speech about the Islam and how to be or how to prepare for to be a martyr. And I want to know, do you think we have to prepare for to be a martyr?
Yes. So Saturday night, I actually spoke on understanding radical Islam, and the church had asked me to address that issue. When I was done, the pastor got up and spoke about being ready to be martyred. Let me explain exactly what I think about that for all Christians. We'll do it on the other side of the break. Thank you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. A delightful 2 hours I've spent here with my in-studio guest from Hungary. And I put them on the spot, did an interview with them, and they were courageous enough to come on the air and speak in English with us. And now they've been able to ask me questions. So the question I was just asked by Christopher, as we'd say in English, about martyrdom, my point was that the call to follow Jesus is a radical call. It's a call to leave everything and follow him for every believer. It's a call to say no to our flesh, no to the ownership of our own lives, and we live to do the will of God. So I am not on a daily basis thinking about radical Muslims wanting to kill me. However, one of the graduates from our ministry school was martyred by Al-Qaeda terrorists a few years ago. I've washed the feet of martyrs' widows in India. We've laid hands on people who've been sent out in India and who've been martyred. These are very real issues. I preached in some very dangerous situations where we were told, don't speak on this, it's too dangerous, and I felt God told me to speak on it, and the stage was taken over by Hindu radicals with knives and razor blades in their hands, and we didn't know what was going to happen. But for the most part, it's not something that we have to deal with on a daily basis. We're not under the threat that Christians are in the Middle East, or Christians living in northern Nigeria, or Christians living in North Korea and places like that. But I believe every Christian needs to have the mentality of a martyr, which is my life for the gospel. I believe every Christian needs to come to that point of complete surrender to the Lord. The missionary mentality and the martyr mentality. The missionary mentality meaning, God, wherever you send me, whatever you want me to do, I'm here to serve you. Not, I have to stay in my country, it has to be the food I like, it has to be the people, Lord, I'm yours. If you want to send me anywhere, send me anywhere. That's the first thing. And secondly, my life belongs to you. If you said to me, I want you to preach on the street corner tomorrow, you will be martyred, but national revival will come as a result. You say, here I am, send me. And if he says, I want you to be the prime minister of your country, here I am, send me. I want you to be a rich businessman. I want you to be a mother of five children. Here I am. Send me, use me. So we lose our lives. In that sense, that can happen alone with God. You cross that line alone with God, and then whatever happens, happens. So some years ago, when we started dealing with issues having to do with gay activism, you got crazy people everywhere. You got crazy people who go to church. You got crazy people in the mosque. You got crazy people in the synagogue. You got crazy atheists. You got crazy gay activists. So you got crazy people everywhere. One of my friends, who's an attorney, said to me, Mike, have you thought about the consequences now that you're beginning to address these things? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, there could be consequences. I said, what do you mean? He said, there may be people who want to do you physical harm. I said, what do you mean? He said, have you thought about it? I said, I crossed that line years ago. My life belongs to the Lord. If I live, I live. If I die, my life belongs to the Lord. So the idea of there could be physical attacks, so we surrendered everything at the cross. If we have that mentality, we can live to be 90, or we could be in prison for the faith. We could be rich. We could be poor. We could be martyred. Either way, my life belongs to Jesus. So I think that's the attitude we need to have. The vast majority of us, especially living in the West right now, will not face that threat, but we live the same way. We're dead to the praise of men. We're dead to the goals of this world. We live to do the will of God, and in doing that, we're free because nobody can threaten us. We're free. At the same time, we're all human beings, and we stand by grace. So I'm not big, strong, powerful Mike Brown. I am empowered by his grace and leaning on him, and he is the strength of my life. All right, we've got time for our last question from Hungary. live from Budapest. How often we get to do that? Go ahead. Your name again.
I'm Edith, and my question is, how did you know that it was God's calling in your life to do radio?
Ah, how did I know that it was God's calling to do radio? And by the way, your name is the easiest name. Although, Fuji, that was interesting. But that's a Hungarian name, or is that a nickname?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's all right. We'll find out afterwards, but I'm just trying to cover my bases here. Okay. There are certain things that early on I just knew from the Lord. I wasn't saved all that long, and I heard the pastor and some others saying that they saw a calling on my life to preach, and I began to sense that. And then I began to sense a calling to preach to large numbers of people and to go to the nations, just as in my heart. And the closer I'd get to the Lord, the more this would burn in me. And I began to feel a burden when I was doing studies in grad school that God wanted me to answer the rabbis and be the one to counter the objections and take this on. And so God's graciously raised me up to do that. And there are other things burned in my heart to see revival and God move. But what began to happen a little over 20 years ago, I was driving in my car in New York City. I had just preached in New York City. I was listening to talk radio, and I had this sense that God wanted me on secular airwaves and that God wanted me on Christian radio, that it was just something he wanted that I was supposed to do. And then about 5 or 6 years later, it started to come up all the time. I began to get this deep burden for moral and cultural revolution, that as surely as I'm sitting here and as surely as we had a civil rights movement in America, we are going to see a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. I couldn't shake it. The more I prayed, the more real it would come, the sense of destiny and purpose. And all the while through the years, God continuing to burn out pride, God continuing to burn out ambition. So it's just this calling burning inside of me. And as this revolutionary calling started to rise inside of me, I started to journal. God wants me a voice on national talk radio. God wants me to be a voice. I started to journal the stations. And I remember it because every day of my life was almost totally different. One day I'm traveling to India. The next day I'm lecturing in a seminary. One day I'm writing all day. The next day I'm preaching in a church in America. And every day different. And I thought, how could I ever do this? How could I do the same thing 5 days a week? I can't. I'm all over the world. And I'd listen to the radio. I'd listen to some talk radio host. And I think, how do I do this? How am I going to rearrange my whole life to do daily live radio? I just knew it was supposed to happen. And then it began to come to me. I was doing a series of interviews, about 19 interviews in a 6-week period. And I had a deep sense, this one particular interview, a fellow named Stu Epperson, who's a dear friend now, Stu Epperson Jr., who is the founder of Truth Radio Network. So many of the networks we're on right now are Truth stations. I was doing a radio interview with him. We had never met. And I journaled that he's going to ask me to be on his station. I was doing 19 interviews. This was one out of 19, but I journaled, he's going to ask me to be on the radio. And during the first break we had, he said, Doc, you got to be on the radio. You need to be on. So it started to come to me. And then another national organization that syndicates, I had journaled I was supposed to be on with them. They contact me and say, how about going on nationally? But every day it burns in my heart. Every day I want to do more. I with all the people we speak to every day, I feel like I haven't even started yet. So it's part of the revolutionary calling to be a voice, and I know I was made to do it. And I like to talk, which helps. It does help to be a talker. Hey, friends, speaking of that, how would you like to get your hands on some of the very best debates I've ever done, some of the very best video talks I've ever done? You can now do it without the shipping, without having to get the CD, the DVD. We have now put some of our best video resources online in our growing digital library. We've got a lot more to add on, but we've got some of our top resources now available. And you can download any audio or video resource on our website this week only for 30% off. So the price is already reduced because we don't have the materials, we don't have the postage, but now you can get 30% off. So take advantage of this. Go crazy on it. AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, in the midst of the insanity and chaos of this age, it is only God's people who will bring moral clarity, spiritual clarity. Let's do it.